You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good Wednesday to you, Brevard County. Thanks for joining us once again here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. And we want to invite you out to our midweek service. We are studying the book of Revelation. And, you know, when you read Genesis, you find out about the beginning. When you read Revelation, you find out what the conclusion of the matter looks like. And, you know, I like to remind people the book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus Christ. Okay. It's not about glorifying the Antichrist or all of that sort of stuff. We are looking to see that Jesus is Lord and that his goal is redemption. You see to what great extent God goes to try and bring people to a place of repentance. And unfortunately, many are going to continue to refuse to repent and have Jesus be the Lord of their life. We don't want to make that mistake. We'd love to have you come out and be a part of what God is doing. We have children's ministry. We have a young adult. We have an adult Bible study, all of which takes place at 7 p.m. And we look forward to seeing you at Merritt Assembly, 165 North Grove Street, Merritt Island, Florida. We're two blocks north of Courtney, or two blocks north of 520, two blocks west of Courtney, in the Merritt Park Place subdivision. Hopefully we'll see you there tonight at 7 p.m. If you know where Ola's Cuban Kitchen is, H-O-L-A, we are right across the street from that. We have parking in the back. If the restaurant has taken up all of the street parking, there is parking available in the parking lot off of Tangerine. So that's tonight, 7 p.m. So we're going to read once again today, Psalm 139, verses 13 through 18. And again, really, really incredible things to contemplate from this passage of Scripture. David writes, "For you formed my inward parts, you covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." Or as other translations say, "You are fearfully wonderful. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth." That's where we concluded on yesterday's program. "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they all were written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you." Verse number 16 says, "Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed." This word substance is something that is wrapped or held together, and it is a word that is used to describe an unformed embryo. A lot of people in our modern times have tried to say that an embryo is not a human being and therefore is disposable. I would tell you that I do not believe that that lines up with the Word of God at all. In fact, David describes in these few verses from verse number 12 to 16 that God was very much involved in the developmental process. All the way from conception, and God would still be involved with David's life all the way through his death and into his eternity. So what I look at when I see that, he says, your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed. I believe that what we see is that God was looking at the potential. God was looking at the plan, the purpose, and the person that he was going to use for his glory. David was a man after God's own heart. When it talks about days being fashioned, it was talking about days that would be squeezed into shape or molded or treated like a pauper, being formed with a purpose. And so there's a lot of things that God knows are coming that we don't know are coming. Whenever we tend to reach the teenager stage of life, a lot of times we think that we know everything, or teenagers think that they know everything. It doesn't take that long to realize that they don't. Even if they have a great intellectual grasp of things, they may not have a very good grasp on how to apply the intellectual. I've known some people who were very, very bright, but they didn't know how to navigate the journey of life very well. And so you can be very intelligent and make some very dumb decisions. I will tell you that there are a lot of people who are mature in age, but they are not mature in wisdom. So what we need is we need the wisdom of God. The Bible says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So that is the very foundational belief that we have got to come. It's not that I am afraid of God. I'm afraid of life without God. We were created to live and thrive in God's presence. And David here is beginning to understand that, or at least he's beginning to write this down in a way that we have been able to benefit because the Holy Spirit dropped something into David's spirit and said, hey, David, I want you to write a psalm about this, about how actively involved I have been in your life before you even knew what life was going to look like. The Bible says that Jesus is the one who holds things together. And so I would highly advise that if you want your health to be blessed, I would suggest that you look to the Word of God and see what Jesus has to say about things that how we're supposed to live. You know, there are wisdom principles. That doesn't mean that you're never going to have a sickness or a disease, but there are many things that we do in life that are self-inflicted. I've told you I felt fine, but whenever I went and had my lab work done, this was over a year ago, and the doctor said your lab work is getting worse, and I stumbled upon this reality that it was what I was eating that was what was making me sick. And so since I have the ability to, you know, control what I put in my mouth, I made an adjustment. And that adjustment caused those labs to now be in the normal range. They had been cut in half within 3 months. Within 6 months, they were normal. 9 months, they were normal. 12 months, they were normal. And here in a few weeks, I expect to find that those numbers are still normal. Whenever he says there's something out of whack, I say, I will adjust it, because you know what I'm not interested in? I'm not interested in contributing to the devil's plan to steal, kill, and destroy my life. I'm appreciative of medical breakthroughs, but if there's something that is in my control, I want to control that, because I want to be a good steward of not only the spiritual wisdom that God has given me, I want to be a good steward of this physical body that God has given to me, so I can continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. God knows the very substance of who I am, and he knows the substance of who you are. So I have this word potential written down here. There are a lot of people who are, that whenever they go house shopping, they are looking for something that is absolutely perfect. Perfect normally comes with a higher price tag. When my wife and I were looking for our house, we were looking for potential, because we didn't have a lot of financial resource, but we did have a willingness to fix things up. And, you know, we have done that. The house looks better now than it did when it was brand new. I don't say that anything about me, because anything I was worked on didn't always come out the prettiest, but when I brought in the professionals, all of a sudden potential began to be revealed. I want to ask you, what could God do in this season of your life? You say, well, I may not be ready for that particular thing. Well, would you allow God to work in you right now, knowing that there's a season that is coming up, that whatever he does inside of you now is going to bring glory to him at a later date? If we're in the Christmas season, what if Mary had said no to God working inside of her? What if Joseph had continued to say no? I mean, there was really just a willing heart in both of those individuals that says, I don't understand how all of this is going to work together, but I'm going to magnify the Lord. I'm going to say yes to God's plan, even when my mind doesn't have a full understanding of every step in the process. I know enough to say yes to God. And so we celebrate Christmas because some people said yes to whatever God had potential. So it says, your eyes saw my substance yet being unformed, before there was any real shape. You know, God in Genesis, the Holy Spirit hovered over the darkness and over the emptiness and created everything that we see. It says, in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me, when as yet there were none of them. Now, A few weeks ago, my wife and I had to make a trip. Because of the nature of the trip, we flew. And when we planned that trip, we planned the airlines, we planned the hotel, we planned the rental car, we planned the goal of the trip, we planned financially, we planned prayerfully, we planned relationally, we put all sorts of plans in place. We made our travel plans with a travel agent, and then while we were there, the government shutdown led to the air traffic controllers, not all of them showed up for work, and therefore not all of the flights could fly. And then, you know, there came direction to reduce the number of flights. And I got an email from the airline, and it says, "No need to panic. Your flight is unchanged." And it's like, okay, that's good. And I contacted my real estate agent, and she said, as far as I can tell, everything is still a go. And then the day before our plans were in place, I got an email and said, "We've canceled the first leg of your journey, which means you wouldn't make the second leg of the journey. So we've canceled that, and we've scheduled you for a couple of other flights. And by the way, you would not get to your destination the same time you were planning on." That creates a need to act. I want to thank my travel agent. She did phenomenal. Someone I've known for decades and decades. And she kept working until we made the original main flight. There were two legs of the flight. The first leg was canceled. That meant we had to adjust. That adjustment was not uneventful. It was quite an adventure. And I've learned through my life that if this is a disruption of the enemy, God's still going to work it out for good. If the unplanned delays and the unplanned activities that we've now had to adjust to, if those are part of God's plan, then I know that He's working all things together for my good, that He's doing something that is going to prevent me from great trauma in my life. So part of those new plans resulted in a flat tire on the interstate while we were trying to drive to where we were supposed to fly. You say, "Well, isn't that unfortunate?" And it's like, well, it wasn't part of my plan, but remember, God's works are marvelous. And so I just look at it and say, you know, there may have been a horrible accident. The way that tire deflated was rapid. When it went south, when it went flat, I was able to get off the side of the road, and cars were going the speed limit in that state, 75 in that area. And so I was able to get off the side of the road. We, with the exception of a few fire ant bites, we were fine. I didn't panic. I was not happy with some of the decisions that other people made about my finances. That didn't have to do with a travel agent. That had to do with a rental car company. But you know, it is what it is. And I'm just thankful that it's not an airline company that orders my steps. It's God. God knows what your right now looks like. God knows what your tomorrow looks like. We need to allow God to work in us today, because it might be that what God does in me today, what God does in me this morning, may be essential for me to minister to someone else this afternoon or tomorrow. I find when people ask about the will of God, they want to know, should I do this? Should I be married? Should I get married to this person? Should I take this job? Should I buy this house? They want to know the specifics without knowing the word of God as to what the general will of God is. And if you're just looking for crisis management for a moment, you're going to just move from one crisis to another crisis to another. But when you realize that God's greatest plan for your life is for you to be redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, have your name written in the Lamb's book of life, and that you live as many days on this earth as you possibly can to proclaim the goodness and the greatness of Jesus Christ in a manner in which others will put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, then you realize, when you know that that is the plan, you know that God's got it under control. What this doesn't say is that everything that happens to us in this world was part of God's plan. No. God took Balaam's intent to curse Israel, and he turned that curse into a blessing for Israel. Balak was the king that wanted to curse. He's like, look, people have not destroyed Israel with military might. They've not destroyed Israel with oppression. They didn't destroy Israel when they were hemmed in by the Red Sea. And so he sought a spiritual curse. But I want you to understand that in Proverbs it says an undeserved curse does not come to rest. You do not have to live in fear of what the enemy is going to do to you. You need to live in faith, knowing what God wants to do for you. And so Israel and David both knew what it was like to be the hunted. But here's the thing. David had an anointing on his life, and that anointing, those promises that had been made to him, were going to come to pass because God cannot lie. He didn't lie to David. He didn't lie to Jesus. He didn't lie in the New Testament, and he will not lie to you and I. He has a plan. He's got a destination for us. And we need to take God's path to get there. He says, you wrote all of your days in the book that were fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them. It's probably been a while since I shared this story, but when I remember by 9 having a call of God on my life to pastor a church. I was called to pastor. I did youth pastor work. I wasn't necessarily called to youth pastor. That was just the door that opened up. I sold shoes. I wasn't necessarily called to sell shoes, but God used selling shoes to get me to Florida. And I thank God. I mean, my life, according to God's plan, looked way different than what my plan looked like. But in high school, I was pretty much a wanderer as far as I did not realize the intentionality that God had in the path he had laid out for me. And so in my senior year, I applied for a scholarship. I got invited into an interview, and there was a lady. I do not know her name, couldn't tell you what she looked like, but she changed my life. She said, "I see here you're called. You want to be a pastor?" And I said, "Yes, ma'am. I believe that someone told me that it wasn't 9, it was like 5 or 6, that I was already telling people that I was going to be a pastor." And she asked this question. She said, "What are you doing right now to prepare for that goal later on?" And at that point in time, the interview ended in my mind. I didn't get the scholarship. I got something much more valuable than a scholarship. I got direction. I got motivation. And when I left school that day, there was a missions trip that I applied for, and there was a college that I applied for. And the course of my life came into alignment with God's plan. I will tell you that God, when he has called you, when he has said, "This is what I want for your life," he will make it happen. You do not have to be like Abraham and Sarah and try and plow down the door and make a mess out of the situation. You can trust God. God's got the path. God's got the timing. God's got the provision. He's got the peace. He is the God who will make that path happen. He's just looking for us to walk the path with him. And so, verse number 16, "Your eyes saw my substance when it was unformed. And in your book, all were written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there were none of them." Right now, you may be looking at things and say, "It's complete chaos. There's no structure. There's no form. I have no idea what the next day holds." I want to tell you the first step is this: turn your eyes upon Jesus. Fix your eyes on him, because he'll take you by the hand and he will lead you one step at a time, one day at a time. He will bring his plans and purposes to pass in your life. He did it for me. He will do it for you because he loves you. God bless you. You have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh radio program.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."